All right, 601, we'll go ahead and start off this meeting.
The Veterans Affairs Committee meeting has now commenced. It is March 11, 2026. The meeting is being held through a hybrid format. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely and in person, we ask all commissioners and guests who are joining us virtually to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number to unmute, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not the chat function. Let's start roll call. Terry Byron.
Present.
John Curtis.
Present.
Bruce Hayes. Brenda Huey.
Here.
Rocio Carey.
Here.
Marcio Wojeda.
Here.
Lorraine Obregón. Lorraine Obregón. Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Tom Tucks.
Present.
And Alan Young.
Here.
All right, we have four.
We'll go ahead and get started here. Thank you so much for that. Let's see. Do we have Bruce for our invocation yet? Or will anybody volunteer for our invocation since Bruce isn't on yet? I like that, Tom. Breaks my heart to kind of start our meeting with this, but I do want to say that we lost one of our members just this morning, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Bill Burks, our vet here that I know it's like hard to look over at his chair that he usually sits at. So it really breaks my heart to lose him. So we're going to bubble wrap all of y'all because, you know, I can't be doing this. That hurts. You know, a little moment of silence for our build there. Lord, guide us in our meeting today. Thank you for bringing us together. May we remember who we're all doing all of our work for in this community and remember all who's along the way that pass on. Thank you. Okay. All right. So let's go on to item 3, introduction of our guests. We'll kick it off with the VA, Historia Nguyen.
Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. Let me share my screen. All right. So just to start off, we have had a leadership change, and it's purely because VA policy cannot exceed 240 days as a detail as a senior executive if you're not already one. So fortunate for us, Dr. Cattell, as you most of you know, our chief of staff, has been willing to step up this past week. He went ahead and took the helm. So, again, Dr. Cattell has been longstanding at Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System as the chief of staff since August 2019 and has been at Sabra Hicks since he was a surgeon in 2015. So, again, really appreciate that he's able to sustain and the continuity as we await the final decision on the director. I will return to my role hopefully next week. I want to make sure Dr. Cattell is set up for success. And then Ms. Jenny Wasilewski will return to her position as the assistant director. Again, just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you, especially it's been wonderful to have your support and trust as we've gone through this period of transition. So thank you for your patience, too. And then I think many of you attended our car show on March 6th. It was a great event, got a lot of positive feedback, so I think we might hold it again soon. Our upcoming events, definitely please mark your calendars. The first one coming up is the Adaptive Recreation Clinic on March 25th from 9 a.m. to noon. Again, that's on the main campus here at Tucson. We'll do various sports like basketball, pickleball, cycling. So if you haven't participated before, definitely RSVP. Anyone can participate. The other event that we have coming up is March 27th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we'll have our Tucson Veteran Engagement and Resource Fair at the El Pueblo Activity Center located at 101 West Irvington Road. Again, we know, especially with the events going on, that there's a lot of individuals that may be triggered. We want to make sure that we do have that face-to-face interaction with our veterans. So please get the word out. And, of course, you all are invited also. It is tax season, and we have free tax preparation services by the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program from the United Way. They've been offering it since February 24th, and they'll offer it through April 3rd. There's been very positive reviews so far from the veterans that have participated with them or engaged with them for their services. So, again, they're in person on Tuesdays and Fridays through April 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the main medical center in the quarters area, building 13. Okay. And definitely you can set up an appointment. Okay. We touched upon this last time as a hot topic. It's a scam alert. We got a little bit more specifics. The previous warning was around a text message. There's still the text message kind of going around too, but now we have, in addition to that, letters are being sent to veterans that have our address on it, either the main medical campus or the CVOCs. And again, we haven't identified anything locally at Tucson or any veterans that have been caught up in this scam, but I wanted to give you all an update to make sure, again, to reiterate, the letters are asking for payment before you have your appointment. VA will never request for anyone to pay before they have their appointment. So again, just a heads up, unfortunately, they still haven't figured out who or what body is issuing out these scam letters, but National Office is in hot pursuit of them. Okay. Any questions on the scam alert? Okay. Just want to remind everyone about secure messaging, just our usual quarterly reminder. I know the phone lines can sometimes be cumbersome, so please encourage yourselves and others to utilize our VA secure messaging option. We continue to look for volunteer drivers for the Yuma and Sierra Vista areas. Again, contact our CDC office if you are aware of anyone who would be willing to take those routes. These are reminders we've had since last time. And then, again, this past month, just want to thank all those who were involved with our National Salute to Veteran Patients Week from February 8th to February 14th. We had a lot of different donations and community partners, including Dusty the Mascot from Tucson Roadrunners hockey team. We also got to participate in the 81st anniversary of the Iwo Jima flag raising military parade. It was an honor to interact with the code talkers who were present. Our renovations are ongoing. Again, excuse our dust. We appreciate your patience as we do see these improvements to our infrastructure. Again, the emergency department, you should be, if you do come to campus, you'll see that the roof has come in and that we're working on the inner partitions and the elevator bays for that portion of the building. And then the backside of building 80, the primary care building, is also coming together nicely with the steel framework. So that both projects are proceeding forward as planned. Again, I think you all had touched on it in the previous discussions before the meeting started. I think yesterday's stand down event was wonderful, had a lot of participation, and I got to see many of you there. And then we also have our summer youth application packages out. So again, if you know any individuals, students, or young folks that would like to sign up for our summer youth program, please share the information with them. Okay. Let me stop sharing real quick. Any questions for me?
Well, first of all, Maria, on behalf of the Veteran Affairs Committee, thank you so much for filling in, and the new director has got big little shoes to fill.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much. We're gonna miss you. I know we'll still see you and stuff, but we definitely appreciate having you here.
Of course. Yes. And I'll stop in every once in a while, and of course you guys can reach out to me directly if you need to.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Questions? Okay.
All right.
Thank you again, Maria.
You're welcome.
All right. So I don't see Matt here from the City of Tucson. Is he online? Okay. Margo, Sarah Horvath, or anyone from the Keno Memorial Park? All right. Arleth? Okay. Bernie Colonna from Honor Charity. You've got the floor.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bernie Colonna. I'm the founder and CEO of Honor Charity. We are a veteran-focused nonprofit here in Tucson, serving Southern Arizona. We are fairly new to the nonprofit world. However, our nonprofit is distinctly different from many of the other veteran organizations in Tucson. Our nonprofit focuses on one thing and one thing only, and that's financial and cash assistance to our veterans. Every donor's dollar is guaranteed to be in the hands of a veteran and their family. We don't have any other program besides that. Our financial assistance is meant to fill a gap in a veteran's life. For example, a veteran transitioning into a new workspace might be out of a paycheck for 3 or 4 weeks, might be behind on rent, might be behind on some utilities. We're there to fill that gap. This is not necessarily an emergency, but it's definitely a problem in the community that we've found needs to be served. We've also seen veterans who are paycheck to paycheck. And that one big bill that comes, either a new AC unit or a $1,200 car repair bill, really sets them back. Honor Charity is there to fill those financial needs for our veterans in the community. We are allowed to operate without any red tape. We can act fast in emergency situations. And the board of directors is fully transparent and aware that needs need to be met immediately. And the communication is seamless, and we can make decisions and act fast for the veterans in our community. Honor Charity doesn't have overhead like a lot of the other nonprofits do. We don't have building space that we lease. We have no payroll. Everyone is a 100% volunteer. Any overhead that we do have, for example, our CPA to file taxes, some business cards, things of that nature, are all paid for by the board of directors. That's how we can guarantee that 100% of a donor's donation will be in the hands of a veteran. And I'm really happy to be here today. Thank you, Al, for inviting me. Al and I are also working with the Mosaic Quarter. They're developing a memorial garden at the new project that they're building on 90 acres of Pima County land. Al and I have been poached by the owner, Frank Knott, and Lindsay Knott, the president and vice president there, to help move some of the memorials that are in Tucson over to the Mosaic Quarter to actually have a real home for them. And I appreciate the invite, and this is my first time here, so it's nice meeting everybody.
We do have, I know, a few vets in the community that work for the feds, and they are affected, impacted by the what is it called right now? They're not being paid, mm-hmm. you know. So
like the shutdown.
Thank you, because of the shutdown. So we may send some folks over to.
Yeah, that would be great. Honor Charity has been the recipient of some pretty big grant money. We did receive, we're a large grant recipient through the Arizona Department of Veteran Services. We also are receiving a large grant from a Tucson-based foundation from the Empower Coalition. We also receive funds from local donors, knowing that 100% of their donation will actually go to a person. Honor Charities really gained a lot of success really early on here. And I've been a business owner in Tucson, Arizona for nearly 20 years. So I am also a donor. I also want to see my money go into the hands of a person, not the 30 cents on a dollar, not the 70 cents on a dollar, not the 90 cents on a dollar. I want to see 100% of my donation actually make a real difference and a real impact in a person's life. So kind of how Honor Charity has been formed.
Any questions or comments?
Well, Bernie, thank you for coming and telling us about Honor Charity. Yep. And I do welcome you to join as a committee member. You know, there you will have to at least, you can't miss more than four meetings in a row, not more than four meetings a year, but we only meet 9 times a year.
Okay.
But you also would have voting privileges on the committee besides just coming here and briefing us on what you're doing. So there's either one. You can just come and be, you know, our guest to come and update on what you're doing, but you can't vote, or you can join the committee and be a voting member.
Okay, great. So,
thank you so much. Okay. Any questions? Okay. All right, now on to 3H, Jonathan Carey from CVP, Veteran Service Program. You got the floor. Tell us about what you do, what y'all do.
All right, CVP has more than 60,000 employees. 40% of those are veterans. 2025, we're named one of the best veteran employers in the federal government. The VSP group that I support helps military members transition from military to federal civilian careers. We help engage with peers, perform buddy checks, peer support, navigate benefits through military service, things like on-the-job training, military service deposit, disabled veteran leave, disabled claims assistance. Last March, we conducted a fast-track claims. Maybe some of you heard of it. We were able to go from A to Z, or people filing a disability claim. One of the most notable cases we had was a Vietnam veteran who was denied for Agent Orange somewhere back in the 70s. He received immediate back pay somewhere to the tune of $700,000. So proud to be part of the organization. My specific region, I cover all of internal affairs throughout CBP, and about 40% of our workforce are veterans. So currently, most of those veterans within that small niche are not getting paid. So we will be looking to Honor Charity and some of those others out there for support. And again, I appreciate you having me on and let me tell you about our program. And we welcome any questions or, you know, any future collaboration between Tucson Veteran Commission and us. We welcome to include, you know, letting you guys know of events that we're going to have where we work directly with the VA and other organizations to help veterans. I would say the March, we opened up to anybody throughout Tucson. So you didn't have to be a federal employee. We helped anybody who would walk in the door who was a veteran. So pleasure to be here, and thank you for your time.
Tom, you have your hand up.
Yes. Jonathan, do you have some info how to get a hold of you, how to get in touch with you, phone number, email, et cetera?
Yeah, I can be reached at 202-309-0394.
Okay. Yeah, I have quite a few veterans that probably could use some assistance. I'm one of them. So yeah, I will, probably reach out to you, with some information.
Outstanding. Would be glad to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And John, I think you also help advocate for a lot of the veterans that are trying to get their foot in the door, specifically with CBP, but like the direct hiring, all those, how should I say, not benefits, but just the privileges, I guess, of being a veteran, disabled vet, military spouse, and getting their foot in the door with CBP, right?
That's correct. So my last 8 hires have all been direct hire through folks with VA disability rating above 30%. It's just a good transition from military service into the law enforcement communities, pseudo military, and you know, all of our command structure is built through Army War Command, and you know, there's a rank structure, so people transition pretty easily. But one thing that we want to make sure is that they take the time to get their medical issues taken care of before they get fully into, you know, career status, and trying to navigate without fixing, you know, some of those core issues creates problems. There's a lot of stresses within law enforcement, which compounds, you know, issues like PTSD or other things. So like Rosie said, we do the career transition assistance. I can't remember what the name of that is, but it's where they come over before they leave active duty, and they can come work with us. Skill Bridge. And so we have one member who does that full time and helps. We've filled all of our IT roles that way, and some other career fields. So we welcome anybody that you know that might be leaving military service, has already left, and, you know, is looking for a career that is rewarding and centered around law enforcement.
Thank you, Jonathan, for coming. And I know, just to kind of wrap up, I don't know if y'all remember from the previous meetings, but the VA has actually sent out their mobile units to provide services to the CBP that are out in the field too. So mental health checkups, stuff like that. So they're already partnering with a lot of our community folks that sit here on this board, which is why I invited them to come. And they also work with some of the other national organizations, Wounded Warrior Program, to also help offset some of the burden that some of these veterans are going through because of the shutdown and stuff too. So I wanted to make sure that whatever we could also do, and again, when they have clinics, to invite some of our folks in the community too. You know, they want to help everybody, not just the vets there at CBP. So thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on? All right, so now on to Tanya Morrison from the Arizona Veteran Memorial Cemetery.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I don't know what's going on with my camera here. My name is Tanya Morrison. I'm the cemetery administrator for the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Marana. At my facility, it is our extreme pleasure and honor to assist veterans in placing their loved ones in their final resting place. We are the busiest of 3 state cemeteries. We have one in Sierra Vista, one up by Camp Navajo, and one down here in Marana. As a result, we have, in our 10 years of operations, served veterans and dependents. We have interred 5,847 veterans and eligible dependents in our facility. Just last month, we interred 71. Of those 71, we have 47 veterans and 24 eligible dependents. A lot of times, this is a benefit that veterans do not realize that they have available to them under their VA benefits. So I would also like to let everyone know that we have a Missing in America project, and that's going to occur on Saturday, April 18th. That starts at 10 a.m., where we inter multiple unclaimed veterans. We give them their honors, and and try to inter them with the highest regard of honor and dignity as possible. So we'd like to see any and everyone. You're welcome to come out and join us for that. That's pretty much all I have.
How many do you have upcoming for the ceremony on the 18th?
We are still gathering. We don't have the final number. I know currently we have about 18. The cutoff date for that ceremony is going to be the 19th of March, so it could be a little bit more than that.
Tanya, are all those veterans, the 18 that you are talking about, are those all Pima County or Southern Arizona or Tucson veterans specific?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They are local.
Thank you so much, Tanya. And I know once y'all do end up finding family, y'all actually help get that deceased veteran or eligible member to their family, their remains, correct?
That's correct. The Missing in America team, if they have family that does want to claim their loved one, they will go ahead and turn them over to them. And in turn, if they're interested in interring them in our facility, we will go ahead and set them up with a private interment like any other veteran.
Wonderful, Tanya. And I also thank you guys because I know y'all allow some of our vets, like some of our women World War II vets have asked to be interred there with the rest of their brothers and sisters. So I appreciate you guys honoring their final wishes there too. So,
as I said, thank you very much for having me. And it is our extreme privilege and honor to serve the veterans and their families.
Absolutely. Any questions that y'all have? Any others? All right. So, Jonathan, Todd,
Ruiz.
Go ahead.
And Madam Chair, Marlon Ruiz, MOWW. I want to highlight as well that today is the 10th anniversary of the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Marana. They've done a spectacular job, and we were informed this morning at the ceremony that they have placed top honors in their inspection, being the 100th such facility in the Veterans Community Services.
Thank you for that information, Marlon. I appreciate it.
So good on you, Tanya. Thank you for stopping by today.
Thank you, Marlon. And to our guests, Tanya, Jonathan, I already, asked here to Bernie, I invite you all to please join our committee. That way y'all can have some representation or y'all can, let us know that y'all have some updates or anything and we can just have you on as a guest too.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. That concludes item 3. So now on to item 4, approval of the legal action report from our meeting in February. Do we have any questions or comments or firsts?
This is Commissioner Terry Byron. I make a motion we accept the report as written.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Marlon Ruiz, second.
All right. Roll call.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
John Curtis?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes? Brenda Huey?
Yes.
Rocio Carey?
Yes.
Marshall Wohider?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Thank you. Tom Tunks?
Yes.
And Alan Young?
Yes.
It passes 9-0.
All right. Item 5, Treasurer's Report. Ms. Terry.
So I'm going to let everybody know the chair and I met at Wells Fargo. We opened up the savings account. We had an outstanding item waiting for processing with the checking account, so we weren't able to close it. But we opened up the savings account and I had the report here just a second ago. Where'd it go? So I submitted the report with a deposit of $180 from Wine Night for the new savings account, bringing our current balance of funds to $1,849.19. It will be updated next month with checking and savings until I can close that savings account. That one item that was outstanding was the check to the band for the four chaplains. It did clear on March 2nd, so the report will switch over from checking to savings for next month. All right. Do we have any upcoming spending expenditures that are coming that you know? Not that I'm aware of at this time, no. Any other questions or comments? Any firsts or seconds? Need a motion to accept.
Marsha will hear. I make a motion that the treasury report has been read and we should accept it.
Tom Counts.
Bill is out.
I second that.
All right. You got Tom.
Terry Byron.
Yes.
John Curtis.
Yes.
Bruce Hayes. Brenda Huey.
Yes.
Lucille Carey.
Yes.
Marshall Woolheater.
Yes.
Randall McGuinn.
Yes.
Arlen Ruiz.
Yes.
Tom Tunks.
Yes.
Alan Young.
Yes.
Passes 9-0.
Okay. And well, we kind of already talked about a little bit 6A here, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Anything else, I guess? This is Terry Byron. I'd like to say the ceremony was really nice. It was great to hear from the Kai family and to see our very own VAC members, Paul Marsh, Norm Ross, and Wendell Haig, honored as the founders of creating the cemetery. And so it was a topic of discussion for many, many years at the VAC. So it was great that it came to fruition. And Norm Ross and Paul Marsh are both laid to rest there. It was great to see Wendell Haig from VFW Post 549. And everyone else, because Marlon was there. Our past secretary, Carol Goodman, was there. Carol Goodman Rundell was there. And just lots of familiar faces. Ann Hollis was there. So we can talk about that coming up. All right. Now on to item 6B, the Arizona Department of Veteran Services. We just need to find a new person.
Yep, I was at the stand down yesterday. They were there, and I definitely called them out, like, we need somebody else to come. So supposedly they also hired a women veteran program manager from the Arizona Department of Veteran Services. I was like, I don't care who, somebody. We need somebody here on the committee, you know, or at least coming to our meetings and giving us updates from their point of view and everything. So we're getting the word out there, so. Hopefully this new person will start joining soon.
Did we get business cards or contact info?
They didn't have any, but I gave them mine.
Oh, okay.
So, I know. Trust me.
All right. 6C, the military lounge and Operation Exodus. Ms. Terry. So I didn't hear from Nicole, who is our contact at the airport. I did send her an invitation to attend the meeting tonight. I don't believe she's on. No. I was looking to have numbers for how many people have actually come through the lounge, and I reported last month that Operation Exodus was a success and all that jazz. So I know that they will reach out if they need water or other supplies, as that is part of our job to do. That's all I have. Okay. Any questions there? So 6D, the fourth chaplain ceremony, Ms. Terry. We'll start planning for the 2027 ceremony. It'll be, I'll have to look at the calendar and see what February, the first Saturday in February next year. So I'll keep you posted, but it'll be at the park again. All right. Any questions there? So item 7, social media presence. Just continue to update, update us what you guys are doing as part of your groups and everything through our clerks, Amari and Francisco. And again, don't forget that we do have our Facebook page where y'all can help promote a lot of that, a lot of those events there too. Any questions or comments or ideas? Outreach to the mayor and council. I did see that our clerks invited the mayor to our meetings. I'm guessing no response.
No response. No. We'll continue to send them monthly ones. But if anybody ever wants to, feel free to send us a message that we can forward to the mayor. Maybe the more we send her, the more we'll get her attention. But yeah, I'll continue sending her our monthly invites and hopefully we'll get a response. But yeah, no response.
We also had a question if you guys wanted us to continue sending it just to the mayor, if you guys would like us to include council staff as there is new council members, maybe one of them can come and give an update as well.
I would like that, yes, if you could do the mayor and council. And I appreciate you guys doing that. I saw the note, so thank you for that.
I'm not sure if you guys heard, we do have a new city clerk, Marissa Stoller. She did start a couple weeks ago, so I don't know if she has any or stream, but we will update her when the time comes about you guys wanting the mayor and council here as well.
Thank you.
And
I do know the individual that directly works for the veteran piece of the mayor. So I'll give you the contact information for the individual. So okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And Madam Chair, I would like to encourage all of us to write our local council members and invite them to the meeting. So I think the more contact there is, just mention you're a VAC member and the organization you're with and that you would love for them to attend one of the meetings.
Terry, I have a question. So when you say city people, do you mean like Ward 6 councilman?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep, exactly. By each ward. So go to your local ward and invite that council member as well as the clerks doing their job. So,
yes. And of course, what was I going to say? Amari. Oh, I had a DD214 moment. I can't remember what I was going to say there. It was about the invites, obviously. Watch, I'll remember when on my drive home. Okay. Any other questions there on the outreach? Oh, the city council meetings. I know y'all sometimes tell us, when is the next one?
March
Tuesday, March 17th.
March 17th. So that's another place where we can go and voice some of our invites and stuff and grievances too.
Is this office, is this one city council?
The city mayor and council city council meetings are held here. They're held over here in the mayor's council chambers, actually. So it would be the same building. You would just have a different way of entering the building. But, yeah, we highly encourage you guys coming as a group and speaking at calls to the audience. It's just a way for you guys to be heard in person. You guys don't really get many opportunities. I know it's hard, but the meetings are usually every other Tuesday. So they're the first Tuesday of the month and the second to last, I believe. It is subject to change, but if you guys would like, Francisco and I can send you guys a meeting for the year of the mayor and council meeting.
What time
they end up on Wednesdays? On or about after 5:30 and after?
So 5:30-ish. Okay.
5:30-ish.
The location?
Yeah.
Right next door.
It's going to be right next door.
Right next door.
Okay. Where we used to meet.
That's what I thought.
council members come meet to that council
meeting? Including the mayor and her staff. So if you guys come and speak at a mayor and council call city audience meeting, they're going to be all right there in front of you guys. So that's why we highly encourage you guys to come. We think that it's a good way for you guys to be heard, especially as a group together, as many as you guys can get down here. It's only 3 minutes to speak, but I'm sure you guys can come up with something to get your guys' point
across. Well, I didn't know public was invited to that.
Uh-huh. Yes, even if you guys didn't want to speak at call to the audience, if you guys just wanted to come to watch the mayor and council meeting, it invited the public. It's also broadcasted on YouTube Live, but you can't speak on YouTube Live. You have to come in person.
I'll make us little paddles. We can all have those video piece on Veteran Affairs logo and just hold it up.
Because I visit them all the time doing different things, you know, but I didn't know. I always thought it was like one council met one time and then the council met one
time. I'm sure they do, but that's when they all come together.
That's when they all come together. That's the best time to get. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that information. I appreciate it. All right. Any other questions or comments there? So item 9, fundraising strategies. Any ideas for fundraising?
Ooh, can I give a report? This is Terry Byron.
Yay.
And we raised day of for the night of wine. Thank you to everyone that was there. Marlon came, Tom was there, Brenda was there. Thank you guys for there. Rosie Carrie and her family were there, so that was awesome. We raised $180 that day, and then I got an email a few days later from the venue, Arizona Wine Collective, that we earned another $40 through wine sales. So I'm waiting for that check to come in. That makes our total $220. So if anybody's interested in doing it again, please let me know, because it was fairly easy and it was a lot of fun. And you didn't have to drink wine, right, Marlon? Not everybody can see your thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
So that was really a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we're not a proper 501c3, so if a organization wants to do a fundraiser on our behalf, then they could organize it like we at the restaurants. Almost a lot of the chain restaurants will offer 10% of sales if you're a nonprofit. So that might be another way that we can go. I know in the past we had received a couple of donations. We had a gift card from Costco, and so we raffled it off in person here at the meeting. So we sold raffle tickets before for that. So just another idea.
And Terry, can you reiterate again, especially since we have some new people and stuff, like what we do with our funds on behalf of the committee?
Sure. So the funds raised help us support the four chaplain ceremony, the Operation Exodus, which we've been doing. The committee's been doing that since 1968. And the Operation Exodus is we provide snacks at the airport while troops are headed home for the holidays in December, so that they don't have to spend any money at the pricey concessions at the airport. There's a push and a pull. So as military come through, as they're leaving, they get snacks. And when they come back, they get snacks. And those are soldiers from Fort Huachuca that come through the Tucson International Airport. We also support the military lounge that is located at the airport. And so they now have it as a budget item, so we don't necessarily support it as much as we used to, but we do provide them with water whenever they need some water. And they, of course, have the snacks that are left over from Operation Exodus that they put in the lounge for consumption. And that's what we support right now. If you guys have anything else that we can support, we certainly would love to have more funds. The Operation Exodus costs about, let's look at the, look, let's look at the treasury report. It's on there. It cost us this last year, we spent $1,600 on Operation Exodus. In the past, we've spent as much as $2,500. It really just depends on the number passing through the airport. We had a small group this year at 1,000. So that's not bad. 1,600 for that. But that's our largest item. The four chaplains doesn't really cost us much. The refreshments are covered by Dignity Memorial. We do pay the volunteer band $150. We make a donation to the Arizona Brass Band. And in the past, we had to rent chairs. We rented a porta potty. Dignity Memorial provides chairs at this point, and the county park has been providing us with the porta potty. So we've kind of cut our expenses down on the four chaplains, but it could escalate at any time.
Thank you for that. Any questions? So now on to item 10, the Veterans Day Parade.
This is Terry Byron. So we are having our first meeting March 23rd, I believe. It's the fourth Tuesday of the month. If you are interested in sitting on the Veteran Day Parade Foundation board or committee, please feel free to join us. We meet at American Legion Post 7 at 6 o'clock. Let me look at my calendar. I don't remember.
That's a Monday, right?
Tuesday.
Fourth
Tuesday.
24th then. Okay.
It's the 24th. I said the 23rd, but it's the 24th.
Can you send us that information in case anybody does want to join too, please?
Say what?
If you can send that to
want me to send stuff?
Sure. I know. Add it to your list of.
But well, I have a whole bunch of flyers to send, so no big deal.
Well, thank you for adding that on. All right, so item 11 are memorials. Any updates we have? I know you talked about the Mosaic Quarter. Yes, yeah. My brain. It's running on fumes.
So,
sorry.
Al Young here. We did do a site visit to the Mosaic Quarter this afternoon. Myself and Bernie were there. And driving by that project, you have no idea how large it actually is. We went into the power plant. We went into the skating rink. We went into the basketball court area. And it's just overwhelming at the size of that project. They also showed us the area where the Memorial Garden will be placed. The Memorial Garden will be the center of that project. The design and layout is still to be determined, but just the fact of where it is, where it's located, I think it's a great opportunity to honor our veterans. And hopefully the project at large will be a revitalization step for the city of Tucson and Pima County and draw in the crowd from nationwide from the plans that they explained to us today and potentially international at some point. Wow. So it's a very huge, very impressive project. And Frank Knott and Lindsay are very down-to-earth personal people. They're, I will call them real people. We all know real people and we know people that aren't so real. They pretend to be what they're not. But these are two dedicated people to the veterans of Tucson and Pima County. So it'll be great to see the existing Veterans Plaza at Aviation and Ritchie, the home of the Gold Star Family Memorial, that will be moved. We know that the Korean War Monument and the Vietnam Wall at Pino Stadium will be moved also. And there's talk about maybe potentially relocating some of the memorials from Armory Park in the first phase. And there may be an additional phase. There is plenty of room for expansion. So very positive feedback. So it's something to really look forward to.
This is Terry Byron. Did they move the location? Because it was going to be closer to the parking lot rather than in the center.
So the solar parking is going to be like directly behind. So if you go to their Mosaic Quarter layout, the garden is going to be between the Iceplex and the powerhouse, the power central power station. It's going to be that area in between. Very large open area. There'll be a circle there, and where the entrances are, you're forced to drive in and drive right around that circle. So you will, upon entrance into that complex, it'll be visible. So.
Thank you for that very thorough update. We appreciate it. And I know Lorraine is already over there like, yes, a better placement for our Gold Star Family Memorial. So
That's like number one, Lorraine. You know that.
Terry Byron, I have an update with the Vietnam Veterans of America wall that is at Keno Veteran. We, for the Vietnam Veterans Day, the park is going to install the large 107 Pima County residents that were killed in action plaque, as well as the donor plaque from BVA 106 that helps cover the cost of all that. They're going to be installing it here real quick.
That's this one.
Yep. Thank you for that update. All right. Any comments or questions? All right. So now item 12, election of our officers. So what updates do we have on Ann? So I saw Ann today, and she, for her own peace of mind, has kind of stepped back from several organizations. So she does not plan on returning. So I would like to nominate Brenda, who replaced Ann as the MOAA representative. I'd like to nominate Brenda to be the junior vice chair. Brenda, do you accept?
What does the position entail?
the bottom line, is in the Marine Corps League, the junior vice is responsible for recruiting, but for you're like backup to the chair. So if the senior vice isn't able to cover her, then you would run the meeting instead of the chair. That's probably the biggest duty you would have.
Do I have to decide right now?
It would be best if you did, because we're in March.
I really have kind of overextended myself with some volunteer things, and I'm not really sure I want to step up and do that.
Okay, no worries. Do we have any other nominations or volunteers? Yes, Lorraine.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So in the past, I was junior vice chair. I know I hold secretary, which honestly, I don't know what function I really have with that. But if nobody steps up, I'd be willing to do that. But I'm not sure that I can hold two positions. I'd have to give up one. And that's all.
Is she able to give it up or just? I'd have to look at the bylaws. Okay. I'm not sure. Who's our judge advocate? Is that Bruce?
Bruce.
Yeah, so Bruce isn't here tonight to look, but he would be the one to make that decision. So we'll have to leave it open for now.
For next meeting? Okay.
So we'll leave that on the agenda.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right. So now on to item 13. We'll go down the roll call for the good of the order.
Terry Byron.
I get to go first. I have a couple of things. So let me go in order by date. So I have
March 26th, there's a fundraiser for the Tucson Detachment Marine Corps League at Portillo's. I will make sure to send this flyer. You have to have the flyer to make sure that the detachment gets credit for the food that you purchase. And that's March 26th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. On March 29th, Vietnam Veterans of America are having a welcome home and memorial dedication at Keno Veteran Memorial Park, 10 a.m. March 29th, Keno Veteran Memorial Park. Please join us. If you're interested in placing a wreath, please let me know. And then on April 4th, sorry, Tom, I'm taking your thunder because I have the flyer. Sorry, Commandant. 26th Anniversary Memorial Service, April 4th at 10 a.m. Again, opportunity to place a wreath. And then I got an interesting email. So we have from Washington, the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency announced today that U.S. Marine Corps Private First Class Norton Reich, 25 of Cincinnati, killed during World War II, was accounted for April 1st, 2025. He will be laid to rest here at the Marana Veteran Cemetery on April 13th. I'm going to try and call there's a number on here for you to call for additional information because there's not a specific time. So I will keep you posted on that as I get more information, but it would be great to have a huge turnout, and I'm not sure which funeral home is actually going to be handling his return. And then lastly, June 20th, the Tucson Detachment is having their 8th annual Andy Lopez Memorial Golf Tournament. It's $100 per player at the Haven Golf Course, and we have two community benefactors this year. Mary Herrera, who's suffering from cancer, needs a little assistance with her medical bills. And we also have the Village School of Abilities, and they have some, their funding was pulled from the kindergarten program, and they have some active duty as well as veteran children, family members that are attending that school. So funds raised from that golf tournament will help local veterans. That's all I got.
John Curtis?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Bruce Hayes? Brenda Huey?
I don't have anything.
Christina Carey?
I have a few things. So all the women vets in the area, March 14th at 11:30, the Outback on Swan and Grant, where the Roadhouse Cinemas is, they're having their monthly women vet lunch. Nothing formal. You just show up and, you know, have lunch with other women vets there. April 4th, right after the Nighthawk ceremony, from 1 to 4, they're going to have a celebration of life for one of our World War II vets, Evelyn Carroll. She was an absolute spitfire. She passed away. I can't remember if it was right before or right after her 102nd birthday. Absolutely loved her. I got to meet her. We got to give her a Living Legend proclamation from the Women's Memorial, which, again, please continue to look out and nominate, you know, women vets in your area for a Living Legend proclamation. I'm so glad we were able to get her before she passed on. And that was Evelyn, total spitfire. She had to have a little shot of whiskey before she went to bed. And all hell would break loose, Tom, if they watered it down. She knew the difference. I joke you not. They watered it down once, and they never tried it again. they never got the end of it. So our spitfire there, they'll have something there for her. Also, I had our clerks sent out an opportunity at GCU, Grand Canyon University, for an executive advisor to help with military
veterans that are going back to school and also their dependents using a lot of their military benefits. So that job is going around. Kimberly, that was at our meeting in January. She is the POC for that. She's the one who fought very hard for that position. They will cover from Tucson up to Casa Grande, so probably traveling back and forth between those areas. I absolutely love Kimberly. You do not have to be a vet, so if you know of anyone who may be interested, they got to have that just that love to help, you know, our military veteran community, and that's pretty much it, in a bachelor's degree. So they can reach out directly to her. Her cell phone number is there at the bottom, and she would be happy to help everyone who's interested in that role. A reminder that Holding the Hope, our peer support group in the area, is having their women's group on the 18th of March starting at 5. They will provide food and beverages. And then their general session meeting open to all groups the 25th of March. And they are kicking off an LGBTQ group in April. I don't have a specific day that they will be launching that, but those are those dates there.
And where do they meet? At what time?
They meet at Esperanza en Escalante, and they start at 5 o'clock. So, and food is provided. If you happen to show up or need to show up with like a service animal, we've had people show up with them before. It's okay. If you show up with kiddos, we will make accommodations. We try to be as flexible as we can because it's important, the peer support group. So, had a lot of great feedback from our vets that have been showing up. So, definitely, you know, spread the word about that one. And also, thank you, Terry. She has a card going around for Bill Burks. So our Vietnam vet that has been on our committee, oh, my gosh, I can't even remember how long, because I know he's been here before I even joined. Bill Burks passed this morning, so we have a card going around. I also wanted to bring forth a motion to maybe get either a little floral arrangement or a donation on behalf of whatever the family wants, I guess. If I have somebody that would support that motion there, you know, that way we get that approved. So, Tom? All right. So, I got a first there from Tom. Do I have a second?
Yes.
I will. Yeah. So, thank you so much for that, you guys. I absolutely, just breaks my heart to come in and read that. Yeah, and then just another thing is maybe on behalf of the group, you know, sending out, and I'm sure you do, Terry, like letters of appreciation to our donors and our volunteers for any of our events and stuff. So thank you for that. I definitely want to make sure that all the support that we get out of our community partners, that they feel appreciated for all their hard work. So, and just continue to nominate women veterans for the Living Legend Proclamation from the Women's Memorial. Living Legend Proclamation, it's pretty much automatic for if you're about, if you're nearing 100 years old, but you don't have to be up in age. If you're out there in the community, whether you did it in the service or after service, and you want to honor a woman vet in your community, or even in the service still that's here in our area in Arizona, let me know and we can get a Living Legend Proclamation from the Women's Memorial at Arlington Cemetery worked on for them. So, and that's it for me.
Marsha, we'll hit it.
I just like to let everybody know, still, if you have clothes for men, women, or children, hygiene, that kind of stuff, I do collect that and deliver it too. If you have a specific thing just to veterans, I could do that. Or if you just want to donate to, like, Sister Jose or, you know, Gospel Rescue, stuff like that, I do take it too. The clothes for the veterans, for basically, I work with homeless, so for homeless veterans, Building 90 has a homeless veterans thing that we take stuff to. And then, not necessarily homeless, but Esperanza, they do for their, I was told they go to the transitional housing, which y'all obviously know that it's like people who come home and get restarted. So those would be the two places that I would take it for veterans. And then again, Gospel Rescue Mission. And for those who don't know what Sister Jose is, a women's shelter specifically for battered women,
they are allowed to bring their children and stuff there too. So other than that, nothing. Thank you.
Any updates from TVSV? How did it go?
Well, I think it went really, really well. It was a different venue, but in actuality, from the first time when we moved over at Silver Lake, that was the first hotel we had moved into. We moved around, but the venue space was a little bit smaller than usual. But the turnout, I don't have the specific numbers. Jess Glover, who is the new president, I guess you could call her. She said she'd have the numbers, you know, to us. But the turnout for vets was very, very good, male as well as female. And I was in the clothing department, so I only had one chance to go around and see the people, take pictures, which I did do. But the rest of the time, we provided here again, well, the hygiene table. They had backpacks for separated for men. And women, just because of the hygiene issues, guys didn't like the female stuff. So we settled that issue. But we had everything from shoes, accessories. We had for vets who were trying to do interviews and stuff like that, we had all those varieties of clothing, shoes, and just a whole lot of people wanting different sizes. So. But it, overall, I heard a lot of people say that they had a much bigger turnout. They was afraid of the rain, but everybody seemed happy. And even the, I guess you call them service dogs, they were awesome too. So, but it was good.
So there was a grooming, pet grooming, as well as vet grooming, right? There was a barber on.
Yeah. they had those outside, and they served them lunch, and it was, oh, and stuff that was left over. It was my understanding, Jess had said that we are paying it forward to the next stand down. They're gonna take it, I think, either back up to Phoenix, or I can never remember what's out there by the Marine Corps base going up by almost to California. I can never remember the name of it, but that, I think that's where they were actually taking to pay for it. That's what we do with stuff.
Well, I think that's something that they started a few years ago. So all the clothes that was left over from like our standouts, we started working with the other standouts across the state. So we're sharing all that clothing and moving it around. That way it's not sitting and collecting dust in a storage unit. You know, we actually have volunteers that take it to Phoenix, to Bullhead City, Yuma, you name it. Where they're holding other ones there. So thank you guys for all that you do in organizing that, because that's not easy. So.
Thank you.
Lorraine Obregón.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you all again for your service, and my sincere condolences for William Burke. I know he's going to be greatly missed. I think for the good of the order, I have to circle back with our homelessness population and veterans, because our numbers are not decreasing, unlike what you might have read in some statistics saying, well, we're down 23% or whatever, but we're over 2,000 in homeless. And what do we, I know that the mayor had some, like, I want to say kind of a temporary shelter that they did for women, but I think that was only on a number of 20-some at max, unless I read that wrong. But where are we at with the homeless veterans, and what are we doing to transition them into some kind of secure housing, because they're unhoused, regardless of how you say it, they're homeless. And, you know, if they're homeless, that means that they're not getting the food that they need. They don't have the mental health services. They don't have any kind of services. And it's just putting them more at risk as they're left unsheltered. So I, for that reason, I think that for the good of the order, we should probably make it a point of all of us writing a letter, if that's okay, to ask everyone to reach out to the mayor and council, and let's unite our voice, because as we sleep safely in our homes, they're out there, you know, and they can't possibly function like you and I, because we can miss a meal, still be hungry, but when you go days without eating, days without shelter and the necessary resources that they need, it just puts them more at risk which hence then we have something that turns into be a violent, unsafe situation for them too out there. But in any event, that's all I have. And I would like to know any upcoming information that we have on Mr. Burks. It would be nice to attend his services or at least have that time. I do work Monday through Friday, but hopefully it's in a time, and I will be out of town this weekend, but hopefully I can make it a point of even leaving work early to make that. And thank you again, all of you, for your service, and God bless you all. That's all I have.
Marlon Ruiz.
WW is currently in the ROTC, JROTC awards season coordination process. On an annual basis, it goes from mid-March through most of April and perhaps extending into mid-May. Point of order, I will be extending an invitation to a Marana Gold Star mother that I will be relaying to Francisco and Amari. And this is specific, specifically for Lorraine or Begon to see if they want to get in touch with each other and coordinate and perhaps have another individual that would be interested in joining us at our meetings monthly. That's all I have, subject to questions.
Tom Tunks.
Yes, I have a few things. First of all, Terry tapped on it, April 4th, Nighthawk 72. Brenda, by all means, join us. Join us or die, you know. And Rocio, I'm still waiting for the invite to the luncheon. And I've got a little homegrown stuff. A buddy of mine, he works for a three-letter agency here in the United States, and I was telling him about the meeting that was coming up because I was actually on the phone with him prior to this meeting, and he was laughing, but he can't understand how you all invited me. But anyways, it's a human trafficking thing. That's a big deal nowadays. And I just want to pass this on to you guys, and so you can pass it on to your respective organizations. It's modern day slavery. It's everywhere. It happens. So the U.S. number, if you think that something's happening, and prepare to copy, it's 1-888-373-7888. And for law enforcement to open an investigation, he sent me this little tidbit here. You need descriptions of the car. Take a picture if you can. Get the license plate, the height and weight, specific time and date, you know, when it happened and all that. Address and location if you're at a Quick Mart on, you know, whatever street. Anyways, I wanted to pass it on. I promised him I would. So I hope everybody either dials that in or whatever, because that, you know, it's a tragedy in this country, all over the world. But other than that, I'm just going to reiterate April 4th. Hope to see you all there. Brenda, can't wait to see you as a junior vice or senior vice.
No pressure.
Yeah, Rocio, send me the date and time for the luncheon. I'm ready. You guys have been owing me some food here for about a year. Other than that, I think Terry covered most of it, and that's all I have. Thank you so much.
And Alan Young.
So I would just like to share an experience that I had this last week. I am a member of the American Legion National Legislative Committee, and I received a national call in to Washington, D.C. for what was called the Charge to the Hill. And what that was all veteran service organizations had the opportunity last week to visit their congressmen, their senators, and express their concerns on Veterans Affairs. On Tuesday, I had the honor of visiting Senator Mark Kelly's office. He was not in the office, but we had a very in-depth conversation with his staffers. From there, we went to Juan Siscomani's office, who is, I am his American Legion liaison. He was not there due to scheduling either, and we met with his staffer. And Tuesday evening, we met in person with Abe Hamadeh and shared our concerns with him. And he actually set us up at the end of the conversation with him for a tour of the Capitol building, which I had never done before. Very great experience, very humbling experience to walk the halls of the Capitol building itself. And then on Wednesday, I was in the gallery when the American Legion National Commander testified before the Veterans Affairs Committee. And the major topic of conversation was the Richard Starr Act, Major Richard Starr, whereas he was a in service, was injured on duty, was medically retired. Upon his retirement, he went to the VA, and he was entitled to veterans benefits as a wounded veteran, only to be denied his his VA disability because he was not fully retired. So the national commander testified to the point of, you know, two separate incidents that we're talking about here. As well as myself, I'm a fully retired veteran, and I received my Air Force retirement. And I'm also a disabled veteran above 50%, so I get both payments. So that's the major point of that, is you're wounded on duty and you don't get disability pay, and that's just, it's totally wrong. We also discussed women veterans health care, specifically care for menopause treatment with depression, anxiety, et cetera, all of the things that can be associated along with that. There's insufficient benefits and coverage treatment for those situations right now. I spoke personally about the disparity in GI Bill benefits for National Guard and Reserves compared to active duty. Again, I was an active duty member and an Air National Guard member, so I understand that disparity fully. And then we talked about community health care at large and services received at the VA. So it was a very overwhelming experience to speak with congressional members one-on-one or their staffers, and to hear the testimony of the National Commander for the American Legion. The DAV, the VFW, the AMVETS, there were so many other organizations there that week. And so we feel personally that the Charge to the Hill was a very successful mission for us to complete. And then on top of that, locally, there is a bill in the state legislature right now. It's Senate Bill 1803, which deals with claim shark bill. Let me find the exact name of it. It's the Arizona Veterans Claims Prohibition Bill. And basically what it is the bill addresses the ability of non-certified or accredited service officers, aka lawyers, to advise you, consult you, and assist you with filing a VA claim for disability. The result of that advice, counseling, and assistance that they give you comes with a fee. They take a percentage of whatever your disability rating is awarded. And it can be a huge sum of money because some of these claims can go back multiple years and the VA will pay back pay. And that person that advises, counsels, or assists you will take a percentage of that disability award. So personally, I disagree with that. We have the VA. We have accredited service officers that do that work for us, and they do it for free. It is an individual choice as to whether to
rely on a VSO service officer to do that for you or to hire one of these folks. But personally, I don't think we should be doing that. So I just want to make you aware of that. If it touches you, I encourage you to reach out to your Arizona legislatures and express your concerns to them. That's all I have.
That's everybody.
Okay. I was trying to find this. You can actually join the Arizona Veterans like legislation. They have meetings. They're either in person in Phoenix, but they sometimes do the hybrid where you can join virtually. And you can hear a lot about what Al was talking about, too, and the other bills and stuff that are going forward. And I can't find it, of course, off the top of my head here. But when I remember, let me make a note of that before I forget. Okay. That way you guys can know more about that. I thought I sent an email about, like, the current legislation a few weeks ago, maybe. Anyways, my brain forgets, but yeah, I'll send that forward. Now, item 14, the future agenda item. So you brought up a really good point. So I was there at the vet stand down yesterday, and I met Nicole Murphy. She's the green and gold aide to Juan Siscomani, and I'm going to be inviting her to the next one. She wasn't able to make today, but I'm going to try and get her on a future invite. And also I'm going to try and see if I can get Soldiers Best Friends that helps with service animals for our veterans, especially because, you know, Henry that was on our group was very big with that group. I'm going to try and get them on here. Also Michael Torres from HSI, Tom, he's Homeland Security Investigations. They do a lot of human trafficking type of stuff, but he does a lot of hiring for them for the region, and he's a vet. So he helps with a lot of vet hiring, but also not just law enforcement, but a lot of analysts that help with that type of stuff. So if you want to, or you know of anybody who's looking for work and stuff, that would be good. So he got pulled to Phoenix on a last-minute thing, but who knows what it is when they work that human trafficking side of things, right? And Lorraine, I see your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just had a comment, and I apologize. I should have put my hand up earlier in regards to the legislative or speaking with our senators. I was able to help. This is kind of for the good of the order, not kind of, it is. I reached out. I have a patient that for over a year, her husband he's disabled trying to get benefits. I reached out to our chair, Rocio. She gave me a contact and I was able to help him. And I have no knowledge. I'm a Gold Star mother. So granted, I mean, just being thrust into this position, but, I helped him recoup, years, back pay or whatever it was for his disability. And she is so happy now. She's getting a lot of help. These are seniors. She's going through her things, but the fact that this veteran is finally getting help, and I don't remember the source or the one that, our chair, I guess you'll see you would have that contact or whoever you told me to, but, you know, if you're persistent, I know that a lot of people are, they give up because when you say no to somebody or you shoo them away, they're not likely to come back. But in any event, that was really good to hear about our legislative. But you can, if you get the right contact, you can help veterans one at a time. But thank you.
Yes. And I will just tag on to the chair's comment. I have met Nicole Murphy. She spoke at one of my American Legion District meetings, and she is a very good resource for exactly what we are talking about. She works in Juan Siscomani's office. So I hope to have her come to speak.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm going to have to remind Arlette because she came and spoke once and she said to leave her on the agenda and she hasn't been sent.
Actually, she was one at Mark Kelly's office that I did have the opportunity to talk to also.
Yeah. So we'll try to see if we can at least get them a little bit behind them to get out here. Awesome. All right. Any other items for number 14? Any other future agenda items?
This is Terry. I want to remind everybody that we go dark soon, so I don't know when we need to start talking about that. But after this, we have two more meetings, April and May, and then we go dark.
Yep, we go dark from June to August. So
June, July, and August.
May, yep. And then our next meeting will be September.
Can you come back?
And I won't be here next month.
I know you'll be in Greece. You have a fun time.
Did you say Greece?
Yeah, Crisco. Yeah. All right, everyone. Does anyone want to say the benediction? Okay, Tom, you kind of did it there. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. And 7:26, that ends our meeting for tonight. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. See you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Have a good night. Be safe. God bless.
Good night to everyone.
Bye, man. Be safe out there.
What did Tom do? He just did the...